Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night, Friday, November 24th, 2023, 17 minutes past the hour. Carrington Nelson, Matt Morgan with me tonight, and we are in the full bloom of the holiday season. Thanksgiving is over, and Christmas is on the way. It is officially the Christmas season. Today was Black Friday, the official start of the holiday season. Carrington, we had Matt on earlier, but his Thanksgiving was good. How was yours?
Mine was really good. We did not eat until 4 o'clock this year, which was really late for us. We've always been like a Thanksgiving lunchtime
dog
family.
Dog show was great.
Really got to enjoy
it. I watched the parade, but when they started advertising that dog show, I just said, you know,
you couldn't do it.
I would have fallen asleep.
Yeah, no, it definitely takes a specific type of person, a specific mind to really savor the dog show, but I love it.
So you had a good Thanksgiving.
I did.
So who was all at the house?
It was just my grandparents and my aunt and uncle, and then my brothers and my parents. So
I did know you had a brother, but I did not realize you had other siblings.
I have two brothers. Yes.
Now, was that hard growing up in a house of brothers?
Well, I'm the oldest, so.
So did you bully them?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
See, I'm still trying to figure this out because you're in the fruitcake toss. Mm-hmm. Are you like a roughneck or not? You've never really answered this.
I know. That's like a secret thing about me, I feel like. Me and my brother used to wrestle a lot. Like
Wrestle.
Like, a little known fact, like, my ear is ripped, actually.
Oh, it is. Your earlobe is ripped.
Yes. So I had earrings.
Your earlobe is missing.
My earlobe is ripped. It's missing. I've never shared this on the radio before, but I was from wrestling with my brother. I remember I was younger and it got caught on this carpet whenever we were wrestling and it pulled it down a little bit. It didn't fall out entirely, but then like a month or two later, an earring had fallen out on the bus and some boy picked it up and was like, "Hey, is this yours?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I tried to put it in. And then I went to the nurse's office when we got to school and she was like, "Are you bleeding?" And I was like, "No." And she was like, "Okay, well, you can go back to class." It was just hanging on my dead piece of skin. And I was like, my ear's ripped, you know, I'm like freaking out. So
yeah, your earlobe is missing there.
Yes, yeah, it's ripped.
Wow, yep. That is very peculiar. Do you see that, Matt?
I do, yes.
That is different.
It looks like a snake's tongue almost. Like there's like where the hole would have been and then just straight down.
Are you self-conscious about that?
No, I think it's fun.
Good,
it's different.
Good. I'm glad that's a very interesting fact. Mm-hmm. So here's why I'm asking you if you're a roughneck, because at one point you said you went to the gym and now you wrestle with the brothers. I mean, are you, because you've never really done anything that I would say would qualify you as like a roughneck powerhouse, but are you? We need to know these things before the big
question. No, I think that we should leave everyone in anticipation.
Because, you know, let me just give you a little backstory on this. Abby was on the show at one point, and at one point, people thought, I don't remember how this came about, it was about a year ago, they felt that her and I should do some kind of competition. Because her and I had done like a board game competition, I had beaten her, and then we did something, but I had beaten her twice. So she wanted to beat me. And people decided that it should be some kind of a physical competition.
Okay.
And I said, well, there are only so many things we can do in the studio. And it got down to arm wrestling or push-up contest because they felt that that would be fair. I didn't think it'd be fair to her because, you know, guys just tend to be stronger than girls in those particular instances. So I didn't think it was going to be fair to her, but I thought, okay, we'll pick one of these. And it ended up being the push-up contest. And you know what? She did fair. She did okay. And I would have never pegged her to be a roughneck until that day. She lost, but she did up quite a few. So she had some arm strength. But looking at her, I wouldn't have thought that she would have.
I don't know. I remember from when I have seen Abby before, not that she's, like, big, but she looks like she could do some push-ups, I think.
So she's got bigger arms than you.
I think she does. Not in a mean way at all. Just, like, I think so. I don't think
she
looks
strong to you?
A little bit, yeah.
Really? She's not.
Not like she's going to, like, beat somebody up or anything, but, like, she looks like she could hold her own in a push-up contest, and she did. So that makes sense.
Yeah, but, you know, most of that's just, I don't want to say, but it's not muscle.
No,
draw your own conclusions,
okay,
as to
whatever.
What it is. She's not. It's not like muscle arms. Like if she flexed her arm, you would not see a bicep. Nothing wrong with
that.
Yeah,
but like she's still like, I don't know. My arm is just like really tiny, like, all over.
So you don't have one either?
I don't think I have arm strength at all.
Okay.
Like, if me working out is always going to be some kind of, like, running or biking.
Because the fruitcake toss is coming
up. Is arm strength. Yes. I know. Well, it's more about distance than it is height, as we've talked about.
You can't throw it like that, though. You were like a tennis player. You were like Natina.
Can we not do that? We can't go sideways at all?
No. Underhand.
Okay, well, this is like I could do a little, you know, down and, like, up and swing around really quick.
There you go. No. It's an underhanded toss. I'd have to disqualify you.
Yeah? Do people get disqualified from this?
No, because I tell them, don't do that.
Okay, so you stop us.
I say, you get one of these.
Oh, see, no, I was picturing doing a little sideways arm swing, so I'm a little nervous.
Well, by the way, we should mention Fruitcake Toss at this point has, I think, 32 people in it. And it's not till December 14th at 7 p.m. We've got Ted, Adam, Dr. Davis, Kerr Murray, Andy Apfelfeller, Sarah, Chip, Mr. Neal, Carrington, Matt, myself, Judy Summers, Glenn Coble, Lee, Glenn Jerome, Tyler Wilson, Bill Collins, Mary Ellen Withrow, Mayor Jack Kellogg, Fruitcake Lily, Pastor Craig, Ted Williams, Sheila Evans, Linda Sims, her husband Ed, Caleb Rice, Bob Welsh, Mrs. Welsh, George Kasotis, Joanne Kasotis, Sheriff Bales, and a representative from the Marion Fire Department. So there you go. That's the Fruitcake Toss, December 14th at 7 p.m. here at 685 Delaware Avenue. We will have Buckeyes that night, chestnuts that will be edible. Our two elves, Claxton and Fruity C, will be leading the crowd in a sing-along. And we will have the Upper Crust Society plaque presentation to Mayor Jack Kellogg that night. So it's going to be a whole event, 7 p.m. here at the station. And if you can't come to the event, it will air that night at 9:15 until 10 p.m. So there you go.
I can't wait.
It's a big night. Now, speaking of can't wait, tomorrow's the day. It's the eve of bringing Christmas to Marion. Really, right now, it is not the holiday season in Marion. But tomorrow, it's here.
I don't know. A lot of people went and cut down their Christmas trees today.
I'm saying that tomorrow is the official start of the holidays in Marion. Because at 6 p.m., I will be narrating the Christmas parade, the official Christmas parade, with 45 entrants. And then we will all go to Founders Park at 7 p.m., I'm reading Twas the Night Before Christmas. You two, dressed as elves, are going to sing three songs, and then the holidays are going to come in when the tree is lit. Wow.
Wow.
I was down there the other night.
Yeah, and does it look, is the tree there already?
Yeah, it's a big tree.
Oh, wow.
Big 30-foot tree.
And the lights have never been turned on yet, right?
Well, I hope they turned them on at some point to check them, but they're not on now. You can't go down and see it now.
Gotcha.
But once we turn it on, it's my understanding it will not be turned off until after Christmas.
That's awesome.
Now, I feel I've lifted you guys up from obscurity and now put you on...
What?
I lifted you up from obscurity and I put you on the stage here in Marion.
Oh, thank you for all you've done for us, sir.
I was hoping you would get to this point that you would say thank you. Isn't that nice of me?
Yes, you're so
I feel like I'm going to get a big Christmas present this year. I feel like I'm on Santa's good list.
Yeah?
Yeah. Look what I've done this year.
That's true.
What do you think, Matt? You excited?
What else would I rather be doing?
Darn right. Now, and also, we've got the Christmas in Caledonia coming up on December the 9th at 6:15. We'll talk more about that as that gets closer. But tomorrow's the day. So what are you feeling right now?
Not much.
Numb. You're numb. You're numb with excitement.
Absolutely. Like I said, what else would I rather be doing other than, you know, being there tomorrow?
Wait till they see your costumes.
Yeah, wait for that.
Boy, they had them on earlier. It was a look here, folks. I'm telling you. Now, by the way, if you'd like to nominate anybody for the Fruitcake Toss, the phones are up and running again, 740-383-9944. You can nominate anybody. You just have to tell them when and where it is, 740-383-9944. If you want to nominate somebody for the big Fruitcake Toss coming up on December the 14th. All right. We did the Fruitcake Toss here. What are some of the other things we need to cover tonight? Well, we have this pudding. We're going to get to that toward the end of the hour. That way we can eat it during the break. But we've got bread homemade bread pudding here, and we've got the Lazarus Chintz Bourbon Sauce. Not real bourbon, but that's what it was called, the Lazarus Chintz Bourbon Sauce.
I'm excited. I don't know if I've ever had bread pudding. Is this like with raisins in it?
No, this doesn't have raisins in it. But this is everybody here liked it earlier, and nobody. I mean, Sean and Bob and Pastor Craig and Matt and myself, everybody liked it. It's very, very, very good.
And you're going to make us wait till the end of the hour.
Well, you can't eat and talk.
That's true. That's
okay,
true.
So we'll get to this. But it's remember, it's the Lazarus Chintz Bourbon Sauce. It's a famous recipe, and I think that's what really made it good. What did you like about it, Matt?
I think that the sauce went really well with the cinnamon and the bread pudding.
The cinnamon's very good. You can really taste the cinnamon in this.
See, I'm not a huge cinnamon fan, so now I'm nervous.
No, you'll like it.
It's good.
Very, very delicious.
Okay.
So this is coming up later on in the program. We also have a top 10 later on in the program. You know something? I saw something interesting when I was coming here tonight. I was at a stoplight on Mount Vernon Avenue, and I saw a truck, and it had two flags on the back of it. One of the flags was a Trump flag. Now, I've seen that before. But the other flag was a Star of David. I don't know what that means. I mean, I was confused. There was a Trump flag on, and it was on the back of this pickup. One was a Trump flag, Trump 2024, something like that. And then the other one was a Star of David flag.
So that's like, I'm Jewish and pro-Trump.
I think.
This is the announcement they're trying to make.
I don't know. I was confused. I was wondering what you thought it meant.
I'd assume that's what it means.
Maybe they're just voicing their support for the...
Israel?
For Israel and the conflict.
You know, I've never seen in my life anybody with a Star of David flag. I mean, where would you buy that? Are they selling those now?
I'd assume they'd probably have always been selling them. They just don't sell them at, like, stores because it's not very common to buy one.
I mean, do what you want.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I feel like that wouldn't be a common thing to put on a truck either.
I just found it very odd as I saw it going down the street off into the night.
Yeah.
But boy, that's weird. Now, one thing I wanted to do tonight, because it is the holidays. We've had some great holidays here at this station. We've been around here for 10 years, and we've always celebrated the holidays a lot. And our listeners love to hear about holiday past. Now, we have a big Christmas party. Now, you two will be subjected to this Christmas party this year, and it's big. It's coming up on the 19th or the 21st.
I don't like that it was subjected to the Christmas party.
No, subjected to the greatness of it.
Okay, I make
it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, we have to... But see, sometimes things happen at this Christmas party that maybe you wish would not have happened. Now, so every Christmas, I like to tell some Christmas party stories of years past to get people in the Christmas mood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Holiday stuff.
Yeah.
So, here's what happened. We'll go to the first one. Now, I played this not too long ago in regard to somebody's birthday, so I'm going to play it again. Because this is really one of our most requested clips of all time. But here's what happened. Charlie Evers was with us for years and years and years, and he's went on to his reward now. But somehow, let me put it this way, and God, I know Charlie's family's out there, and I think they're listening, and God bless them, I love them all, but Charlie, and I love Charlie, liked to have a drink every so often. Okay? Especially at Christmas. Charlie liked to have a little drink. And I can't say that he didn't drink any other... I mean, he wasn't a drinker, but I went to the OK with him a few times, and we had some Yinglings. So, you know, Charlie had a little... He'd have a little taste now and again. And he had a real taste at Christmas. And there was a Christmas, and we all decided... It was Sean and Terry. You'll hear all of our voices in this clip. Sean, Terry, and Charlie. I believe this was Christmas Eve morning. And we all decided that we were going to have eggnog mixed with moonshine. So we were drinking moonshine and eggnog on a Christmas Eve morning. And Charlie had a little more eggnog and moonshine than the rest of us had that morning. And he was over 80 at that point. And I think his wife knew at that point that he had too much because she drove him in that day. And she was going to pick him up. So... At one point during the live show, he had really had a little too much to drink. And I could really tell that he'd had a little too much to drink. And we're all sitting there. And we had a caller who has also since gone on to his reward. Bob Austin used to call in all the time. And Bob had a real gravelly voice. Like, sometimes you couldn't understand what Bob was saying, but he called an awful lot, and we always appreciated that. So, that's the setup to this clip. It's one of the most requested clips in WGH history. It's... A Christmas Eve morning, we're all sitting around drinking moonshine and eggnog, and Bob Austin calls in at one point during this. That's really all you need to say. So I guess, happy holidays. Here's the holiday clip of what happened once upon a Christmas many years ago here at WGH. Maybe. If we can get it playing here. You know, if the technical things worked okay, we'd be okay. All right, here we go. Once Upon a Christmas.
Back once again here. It's your Christmas program today. Yes, it sure is Christmas, isn't it?
And we've still got another hour after this.
We do.
The Exchange Club is on.
Oh, that's right, the Exchange Club.
Which will all be, and I heard you saying earlier on how much you really enjoy the Swap Shop theme song.
Oh, don't mention it. Oh, it's time for Swap Shop. Bring your goods here, we'll sell them for you. Oh, my. I've heard some bad things, but boy, I tell you, that gets up and walks out.
Well, that was a heck of a job. I mean, poor fellow
is,
you know, mentally challenged.
Yeah. What? Gee whiz, that's terrible.
Oh, it's, you know, time for Swap Shop.
Who sings that, don't you? The Swap Shop theme.
Oh, we have an incoming call.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
Who's
in
Jeez.
Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you guys in the swap today?
What? Are we in the swap? Yeah, you want to join us in the sauce?
You sound like you're in the sauce today. You're having too much fun.
That's right. You're exactly right.
It's Christmas. I am doing pretty good.
Yep, you're having too much fun.
All right,
Carl.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh, jeez.
Oh, man.
Now, that was Christmas once upon a time when, as the late Bob Austin said, people got a little too much into the sauce on the holiday. Matt, you like that clip.
I do. I think that's a good holiday clip. It's humorous.
When he started to imitate Bob, when Bob's on the phone, I couldn't even see straight.
Yeah, you can really like feel the environment through the video alone. I really like the music playing. Can we bring that back? Can we do that
hear the music
show?
Again?
Yeah, we do the music while we talk
music.
A little bit. I like that.
I'm okay. I'm done with
background. Like a seasonal thing.
Yeah, I'll work
can we
on that
start
for
that?
You.
Okay,
yeah,
thank
I'll
you.
Work on that for you. But so that was one of our famous Christmas stories here at the station. The time that Charlie got into the eggnog a little bit and imitated Bob Austin. And it's interesting because Bob Austin came into the studio later that day to give us some Christmas cookies or something like that, and Charlie did the imitation right to his face. So that was even more enjoyable for all of us in the room that day. It was an interesting moment.
What did he do?
I don't know. You know, I don't think Bob took it personally.
Okay. Okay, I mean, as long as he doesn't take it personally and get upset.
He probably understood. I think he understood that
people had too much to drink.
Yeah, he had listened to the show. I think he understood.
Yeah, that people were one sheep to the wind. There wasn't much more. Now, the other, this is more of a story that I have to tell, but we do have a little clip of this. And again, this is just to get us in the holiday mood here. There was a Christmas party one year. Where, we were all there, Charlie and Sean, and the whole gang was here for this one. And once again, I think Charlie had a nip. And we had a group there that night called the Leszewski family performing. And there was some problem pronouncing their name. And so that was going on. And then also, there was a little bit of an issue with Santa Claus that night, because Santa Claus was sitting at the table with all of us. So here's that Christmas memory here on WGH, going back several years, Christmas past. Here we go. Let's listen to this one. Maybe. You can hear your background music again.
We have Sean Kraft, Santa Claus, and Charlie Evers. We'll be joined by the music of the Leszewski Brothers. How are you doing tonight, Charlie?
Is it Leszewski?
Oh, here we go. But Leszewski. Leszewski.
Okay, well, I'll ask them when they come in.
If you think that'll help, we'll work on it. Santa Claus, you are kind of the man of the hour tonight.
Oh, yes.
It's exciting for you to be here.
Boy, he's really talkative.
Yeah.
You know what I didn't realize how hard it is to wear headphones with a Santa hat. It's a horrible thing. Santa, this is your big... Forget it. Give us a nice introduction for your favorite group.
Yes, I think they're such a group that they deserve to have a magazine story written about them. The Now, I call them Leshecki.
Leshecki, right? Leshecki. Yeah, Leshecki. Leshecki.
Leshecki.
Leshecki. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
The Leshecki family. Yeah.
They're great.
Yes, here, let's hear them. Introduce the audience again to our favorite group.
Yes, that's my favorite group, Let Her Rip.
Well, who are they?
I never before had trouble pronouncing names. Well, let's just say it, Leshecki.
No. Let's say it. The Leshecki family.
Okay, Leshecki. All right.
So nobody knows if it's poinsettia or poinsettia?
No, give us a call, 740-339-44. Is it poinsettia?
Well, that really got empty with Madge, didn't it? You guys didn't see eyeball to eyeball on that one.
Like I say, Madge never pronounced it right.
She's dead. She can't defend herself.
I know.
Charlie cuts me out. The woman's been dead for 10 years, Charlie.
If people want to distinguish themselves, they'll call it Ponset or, you know, something like that.
Oh, so you're saying she was doing it for hoity-toity reasons?
Oh, yes. Hoity-toity.
No. Madge wasn't.
Talky.
Madge wasn't hoity-toity.
Yes, she was. She was hiring in the, you know, the social circles.
Now, those are some memories from Christmas past. Matt, you've never heard that clip. What do you make of that?
I think that's pretty cool. I think that one's funny.
Yeah, Carrington.
A lot of giggling, not a lot of conversation.
Well, no, there wasn't because everybody'd been drinking.
Okay.
That's what happens when you drink.
I guess as a viewer, that's not as enjoyable.
Well, you had to be there. It was one of those
for
moments.
Sure, for sure.
And here's the prologue to that story, by the way, if people don't remember. Now, Santa Claus, Charlie profusely teased Santa Claus all night long for the two-hour program because he wasn't talking right, and Charlie did not feel he was a good Santa Claus. So about 5 minutes before the show is open, Santa Claus stands up, throws down his headset, and walks out the back door. And I got to wait for the show. I don't know where he's going. He didn't say anything. He just got him walked out. So the show ends 5 minutes later, and I walk back into the back room trying to find out where Santa Claus is, and the back door is hanging wide open. There's no Santa Claus, and all there was one white glove on the desk. So I think Santa Claus got ticked and
that
left.
Sounds like it.
He just left town that night.
Yeah, after getting made fun of all night.
So those are some memories of WGH Christmases past. You have any great Christmas memories like that? That makes me think of the holidays.
So my grandma used to record these videos, and we watch them sometimes. Okay. And I don't really remember it, but it's recorded, so it's there. She can't say it didn't happen. But my sister, when she was really little, liked to get attention. And she had opened a gift one time, and then I don't remember what my mom was doing, but she was paying attention to somebody else, and then she was like, Mommy, look. And then when she looked, she was like, what is it? And then she was like, I don't know.
Well, that's good. That's a good memory.
That's a good memory.
Carrington, what are your Christmas memories?
My Christmas memory also relates to my grandma. She really will pick out some interesting gifts for us, and you open it up, and you're like, hey, is this supposed to go to me? And then she explains, and you're like, oh, okay. And one time...
You're looking grandma in a gift horse in the mouth at the holiday time?
No, I don't know. Or just like, what... she got me eyeglasses cleaner one time. I was like, Grandma... I don't wear any glasses. And she was like, well, you know, like for sunglasses or something. I was like, okay, that's nice. Thank you. Sometimes she gets like a gift for the whole family. You know, she'll get curtains or plates or something that's addressed to the Nelson family. But one time she decided to get a toilet seat, and she wrote too rich, my dad. So that was his personal toilet seat, and that was always a highlight memory in my mind from Christmas. So just funny gifts.
See, I'm worried now because we got this gift exchange coming up here where people have to make stuff, and I know now your family's got oddball Christmas habits.
These were just instances with my grandma. I think the rest of us
do you know what you're going to make?
I have a couple ideas, yes.
You do?
Yes.
Now, are you crafty?
Yeah. I am pretty crafty.
Okay. Well, like, what have you made in the past?
I've been crocheting a lot recently.
Really?
Yes. I made a couple blankets. I made a little turtle stuffed animal. I've been doing some paintings recently.
Do you have a lot of time on your hands?
No, I'm busy crafting.
It sounds like it. What are you doing with all this stuff?
I'm making it, and I'll probably give it as gifts, and I don't know, just what I like to do.
Matt, are you crafty?
I don't think so. Not really, no.
Well, you know, we have the big craft thing coming up here.
Yep.
So it has to be a craft?
Yeah, when is
what
that?
Has
when
to
is
be,
that?
You said we have to make it.
Yeah, Friday before Christmas.
Okay. Yeah, we just have to make something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be fun. That's going to be a big, big event. So that's where we are, and those are memories of Christmas past. And again, if you want to say something, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay. You had a topic, didn't you?
Yeah,
and
I
didn't like it, but I remember I was okay.
One that I wanted to talk about was today. It's Black Friday. This is a holiday
yes.
for many of us. Have you guys gone out shopping?
No, I was here this morning.
No? Do you ever go shopping any year?
I have been shopping on Black Friday, yes.
And are you pro, anti? How do you feel about Black Friday?
It's okay.
Yeah? You don't have a strong opinion either way?
Well, like, as far as...
The overall experience. Do you think it's
okay.
An enjoyable... Like, I get excited for it. I'm like, oh, this is fun. Like, the idea of going shopping all night is fun and stuff. And I think that a lot of the stores have really taken away from it this year because a lot of the places weren't open all night, which is fine because, like, you know, workers probably don't want to be there all night. But a lot of the Black Friday stuff didn't start until, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock
this
morning.
Who do you go shopping all night with?
My parents and my friends we used to whenever I was in high school. It was so fun. It was a great memory. We would, like, all get in the car together, and we'd drive down to, like, the Columbus malls or something, and then you'd go, like, eat Waffle House in the middle of the night and go back to shopping a little more, and everyone's, like, not talking by, like, the end of the night because they're so tired. And, yeah, it's so fun.
See, Thanksgiving is tiring enough. So at the end of that day...
You just want to... And what do you mean? Thanksgiving is literally just eat food and sit around.
Oh, no, not when it's at your house.
Are you a turkey trot kind of guy? Are you guys, like, running?
Yeah, I run. I do that anyway. But
on Thanksgiving, like, do you participate?
Yes.
Why you'd be tired.
Just preparing the whole thing is a production. Preparing the turkey and the cranberry sauce and the stuffing and the rolls and making sure everybody gets there and trying to keep them entertained. It's a little bit of a production.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
We were talking this morning, and I thought it was an interesting... What was your topic, though? You were going somewhere with that.
I was just... I went Black Friday shopping. I thought it was really interesting.
Did you get my gift?
I did not. Remember, we're making them.
Well, that's for the show. I thought you'd slip me something on the side for
the
lifting you up from obscurity and, you know, that whole thing.
I was fine before this. Thank you. This is a great addition to my life.
I'm not saying that this made your life. I'm just saying that I think it'd be nice if, you know, you have a little reciprocation.
I've risen from the ashes.
Yeah. No. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying your life was terrible. I'm just saying this is a different aspect to it that, you know.
I'm, like, in a different social class because of this or something.
Different social
That's
circle.
That's what you're thinking.
You're hoity-toity now. You're hoity-toity. You'll start calling them pun sets before long. No, I'm just, whatever.
No, it was really busy today. My mom and my brother and I all went shopping separately, actually. And they were both like, the mall was so crazy, I didn't even get to check out. The lines were so long. And, I mean, we said they were both shocked to see it that full, which it was really full this morning. Like, the mall was pretty crazy.
See, I can never tell people what I want for the holidays. I have everything. What do I want? I can never think of anything.
Yeah, everything I want, I buy with the money. So, like, by the time Christmas comes around, when people ask me what I want, I'm like, I don't know.
I told it. No, years ago, we had this big conversation on the air about what is a gift you get somebody you don't know what to give. You have no idea what to get them. And I said, character sucks. That's always a good gift.
Personally, I'm always okay with just a gift of money. I'd rather have money.
No, see, I don't believe in gift cards, and I don't believe in money, because I think that takes no thought at all.
I'm okay with that.
No, but see, when you say it's the thought that counts, that's thoughtless.
Well, I mean, I don't have to give you money.
I one time made somebody a little, like, tree made out of lottery tickets, and that was what I got somebody
as a gift.
And I was like, that's thoughtful. I had to make it, and it was also fun, but it was, in a way, just money.
I just think that they had to think about you enough to give you money.
No, that's lazy. But I understand why senior citizens do it, who don't have the energy to shop anymore. Uh-huh. So I'm not saying it's a horrible thing in that regard, or if you have to send it to another state or something. But if you are living, you're going to see that person, and you can't find anything for them, come on.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little underwhelming then, too. It kind of takes the fun. You're like, oh, yay, thank you.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Play with a gift card that night?
No, my grandpa...
But I'm not a small child anymore. I used to get video games. I don't play video games much anymore. It's not a waste of money to ask my parents play in that video game.
Like, if you got me a book, or you got me a DVD, or you got... I could watch it that night when everybody leaves. I could start reading the book. You can do things.
I don't...
Video game... anything electric... You know, you can play with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't...
Earbuds. You know, 1 year earbuds. And those are fun. I'll have to pair those up. And
I buy a new pair of earbuds every time I lose them because they're like
$20. But that's a good gift, earbuds.
Yeah, I have some headphones on my Christmas list.
But the gift that you can get, and if you don't want to spend a lot of money on that person, but you don't want to get them a gift card, crazy socks. You know the socks that have the weird stuff on them?
I'd be sad if somebody...
Novelty socks is what they're called.
I want
novelty
you to know
socks.
That, nope, want you to know that now.
What's what you're getting? It's already under my tree, wrapped and ready to go. Well, novelty socks for Matt.
Are we being for real that we're making each other gifts and we're buying each other gifts?
No, see, now don't worry about that because...
Now I'm stressed.
No, because you don't give a gift to get a gift.
But it's awkward. I hate it.
No, it's not awkward. No, see, that's wrong.
If someone gives you a gift and you don't have something to give back to them, that is so uncomfortable.
No, because...
I have a story. In middle school...
She just threw her hands up in my face. Did you see that?
I need to silence you. In middle school, I...
Oh, you do it?
I used to make extra gifts and I would bring them to school because, kids would get each other stuff. And I was like, okay, I'll keep these ones in my locker. And that way, if anybody gives me something, I'll like, oh my gosh, I have your gift over here, and I would go get it give it to people. Yes, I was so stressed about that.
No. Because if I want to get you a gift and you happen not to get me a gift, I'm not going to be offended because you didn't get me a gift.
I understand, but I don't want the gift if I didn't get you something because I feel bad. Indebted to you.
I'm going to call you up to mow the lawn or something?
Maybe, and I'm like, oh, they got me a gift and I didn't get them anything.
No, that's not true.
I mean, last year I think I got a whole 4 people Christmas gifts. Other than that, nobody else got a gift.
You know what one of the best gifts I got, homemade 1 year, and it costed probably next to nothing. Well, I know it did. The person took a piece of paper and wrote a poem and then put it in a picture frame. And I thought that was one of the neatest, because that took time for them to write the poem. It didn't cost them anything. You know, what's a picture frame cost? $2? That's all it cost. But it took thought. Mm-hmm. It took time. And I thought that was one of the neatest gifts I ever saw. And I think I still have that somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. Just like thoughtful things are really nice. I think my friends are all really good about that, making sure that if we're going to get people things now, it's more of like, oh, this is like special because of this or that, and like money isn't as important.
I just like, if like it would have been, I guess, all right to get that, but like I'm not going to, what am I going to do, stare at it?
A poem?
Yeah.
No, you put it, like things here, you put them on the walls. Like you were reading that note from your, that's an email that I framed because I thought it was a poignant email. You read that 13 years later.
See, but the thing is like,
earbuds wouldn't be up there from 13 years ago.
I read it 13 years later, but I read it. I'm not going to read it again.
No, but other people do.
Yeah, and Scott can look at it and be, like, happy about that if it's a successful big moment.
And a lot of times, you know what? Last night when I was putting my tree up at home, there are ornaments that people have given me over the years. And every year when I pull out that ornament, I think of them for that moment in my brain. Like, somebody crocheted me a Santa ornament years ago when I worked in a shoe store. I've had that thing for 25 years. And every year I pull it out and put it up on the tree. A group of friends 1 year got an ornament made, I think, down in Columbus that had our names on it. And I hang that on the tree every year. I think of them when I put that up.
That's really sweet. See, my mom does our tree in like a theme every year, so we don't really get sentimental. Well, we have the sentimental tree back room, and you've got your sentimental ornament tree.
No, it's not sentimental. It's just I think of them, and I'm not normally thinking of those people because I'm not necessarily around them anymore.
So it's kind
of
sentimental. You're reflecting. remembering.
I'm thinking about
them. I guess you're reminiscing more so.
Yeah, and that, yeah, it's not like, oh, I'm sad I don't see them anymore. It just makes me think of them
yes,
for a moment.
You're just looking back. That's
all it is.
Fun. I like that.
And you think that they took the time to do that. Somebody took the time to crochet an ornament for the tree. Somebody took the time to go down there and have our names chiseled onto an ornament. I mean, that takes thought. Takes time.
I agree, and I think that's better than money, I think.
And I look at Christmas gifts that I got 25 years ago. None of them exist now, but I still have her crocheted ornament.
That's true.
So there you go.
I don't help my, I don't decorate a tree. I don't have a tree. I don't help my mom decorate a tree.
But you will. That's the point. No. See, at your age, I don't think I did either, but you see, how do you know where you're going to be in 20 years?
I don't want to be decorating a tree. This sounds like a waste of my time. Hate to break it to you. I didn't like decorating trees when I was a small kid.
Okay.
The Grinch over here.
Yeah, it's a little
awkward.
About the whole thing, aren't you?
No, I'm just like, I just
did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed today?
I just never saw a point in it. It just seems like a waste of my time.
Didn't get to go rabbit hunting yesterday, so you're a little cranky today.
That's true.
But anyway, the conversation we had earlier is kind of a stem off of this. The conversation we had, which I thought was great with the whole group earlier, because it's very, it's an androgynous topic. It could mean anything. But we always talk about how we meet somebody and don't really like them, and then we learn to like them. But nobody talks about the other way. When you really like somebody and you know them well, and then they do something and you really don't like them. Do you think that's possible?
Oh, I have a specific memory coming to mind when you say that.
Oh, there you go.
For sure.
But everybody always talks about the other way because that's the happy story. People will, they're like, you know, when I first met you, I really didn't like you, but I love you now. You know, they'll do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody ever goes, oh, I really love that person, and then they did this, and I cannot stand them now.
Yeah, because then it just makes it sound like you're hung up on it. Like, you know, I'm
all
over it.
But you're not. See, that's the mistake. That's where I was kind of going with that this morning, but we ran out of time. You're not hung up on it. It's you just don't like that person.
Okay.
You don't go around telling people you don't like them.
Yeah, I mean, since you brought it up right now and I have the, like, memory in my mind, I guess I'm thinking about
right,
it.
But you're not harboring that person,
no,
are you?
No.
So you don't have as much or as little as you want to tell, but what, I think Matt told it, well, it might be a new audience. What was your instance with this? Have you ever had an instance where you really like somebody and then all of a sudden can't stand them?
I don't think so, no.
So you've never had that happen?
I mean, not really, no.
Oh.
I mean, like, I'm sure that, like, I've at some point, like, it's not necessarily that I don't, like, they don't, it's not that they do something and I stop liking them, it's just, like, eventually I just stop talking to them. I don't get on my phone very often, so, like, if I don't respond to people for hours, a lot of the time they just stop messaging me, and if you don't message me, I'm not gonna message you because I don't get on my phone. So, I just kind of don't talk to as many people as I used to because they just don't talk to
me. Well, with me, it's more indifference. I mean, I don't go out of my way to call them names. It's just I become indifferent to somebody who I used to like. Like, there's nothing worse than when you compliment somebody and then all of a sudden you find them not to be what you thought they were. And then people kind of take that hard.
So, what do you mean?
Like, if you say, yeah, that's a really good person. I really like them. They're a really nice person. And then all of a sudden you find out that they're not. That other shoe drops. People don't like that. They have a hard time accepting that. Like, okay, let's say, this is the example I gave earlier. Let's say you like Matt, and I like Matt, and then I find a reason that I don't like him. You will find it hard to believe that I don't like him now. You will not like that I don't like him. Like, you think he's great, so I have to think he's great, even though I don't. You can't hold those two thoughts in your head. People have a hard time with that.
See, I think I would feel bad for liking him. Like, I would try to not bring it up in front of you, because I have a couple of friends like that where people don't like it, and I'm friends with both of the people, like, more, one more distantly than the other, but, like, still, I don't want to be, like, a person that's going to trash talk somebody that you consider
well, see,
a friend
here's the problem.
Or somebody you like.
I find it being phony, though, because if somebody asks me if I like somebody, I'm not going to say, yeah, but I really don't. Because
yeah.
I think it takes away from the people I do really like.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if I really do like somebody, I will tell them that I think they're great, but boy, if I don't like you, I'm not going to go out of my way to tell you I don't like you, but I'm not going to lie if somebody asks or a situation comes up where I have to bring it up. So what was your situation?
So, like Matt said, I feel like now it doesn't happen as much. My closest situation currently would probably be the coworker at work. But
oh, yeah. Well, you liked him at one point.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, I feel like in the beginning, I'm typically pretty indifferent, positive about everybody. Like, I'll like somebody until they give me a reason not to like them. Typically.
But have you ever went to complete like of somebody to complete dislike.
Yes, this was back in high school, though, I guess. There was just a girl that was kind of a popular girl, and she was going to start playing on one of the sports teams I was playing on, and I was like, oh, this will be great. Like, we'll get to be friends. She seems really fun, and, like, a lot of people like her, you know. I was like, great, like, I'm going to get to experience this. So we kind of started, like, hanging out and talking a little bit more, and then she had joined the team, and then she started hanging out with one of the girls that did not like me, and then all of a sudden, she's not really talking to me anymore, and not really being all that nice to me. And so then my perception of her obviously changed, and I was like, oh, so it's just about who's the coolest person in the room.
Oh, so does somebody have to like you for you to like them?
I mean, the girl that she was kind of like becoming closer friends with was like bullying me a little bit, so like in that instance, it was pretty evident that like me and that other girl were not getting along. So for her to go out of her way to befriend the other girl whenever they previously weren't friends really felt like a slap in the face.
Well, usually it's an event that will happen. Now, I never really talk about the event that makes me dislike the person, but that's usually what happens. If I really like somebody, I kind of do hold them to a higher standard. And if they do something that I find to be really low, that would make me...
So it just takes one specific instance. Because, like, for me, it is, like, I grew to dislike her after she continually wasn't kind to me and wasn't being the friend that I thought that she could be previously. Like, it's not like this thing happened.
It's not always one instance, but there are cases where it is one instance. Because really? There are certain things that I just find to be awful.
And what are some of your lines? Like, we don't need to know who the people are, but what are some lines people have crossed that you're like, okay, my opinion of you has officially changed from this instance?
Oh, phony. If I find out somebody is a phony, I don't like that. I cannot tolerate that. Because if I think you're a phony, I can never go back to thinking you're genuine. Because I don't know, are you just being nice now because I think you're a phony? You know, I don't know. So if I find you, but see, you've got to do something to do that. And there's never always, it's not always a specific thing. But like, if all of a sudden you're just nice all the time, I like you, you're great, you're a pal. And then you do something nasty and say something nasty. Well, then I think, what was all that, you know, I like, that's, now you're phony to me.
I mean, you ever think that maybe that person just had a bit, like, so did they
just, it's
like,
not just, it's not isolated like that.
So they just drop the, so then they just are, they go from being nice, polite, nice and chummy, you know, to being, to just being rude consistently.
Yeah, and that does happen.
Okay, that, I mean, that's different.
If it's consistently, but then that again isn't just one instance. Yeah, somebody has a one-off.
Said one instance. So I thought you meant like if they just like they could have had a bad day and started saying things, and you're just like, all right, see you.
But I consider that a trait. No, I could do that in one day. Yeah.
Make somebody dislike you.
No. I could dislike somebody in one day.
Okay.
Because if you do something, I mean, it's not like, some people are just upset some days.
Right.
And they're not going to be as chipper as they are. But if you change your complete opinion or you say something rude to me, if you say something nasty about me after all this praise and all this, then yes, I think you're a phony. I think, why'd you do that? You had that bad a day, you had to attack me?
I'm surprised people would say that. Evidently of rude things, like I feel like most of the time something would happen and I'd be like, okay, maybe it's me, like maybe I'm just misinterpreting him, like how they're saying it. Like, so you're confident that your perception of what others have to say isn't the true perception?
Yes, because sometimes it's very blatant.
Okay,
now I don't go around, I don't even tell them, I don't even say, hey, ooh, that's it, you know. I just after just that, it's...
Push them out slightly.
Yeah, they need not be there anymore.
Just dwindle out of your life.
Because if you leave those people linger in your life, it becomes awful.
Awful?
Yeah, they do, because they're you always wonder, well, I do, I quite, what, is that the truth?
I don't know. I think that if you stop talking to somebody because they were rude to you one day, that's kind of
well, what kind of rude?
Small-minded.
If you... No. If you had... Why in the world would you be rude to somebody... I'm talking about overly rude. I came in a bad mood.
See, but like you misconstrued. Remember when we were in the break room together the one time, and I was like, "Enjoy the rest of your lunch in quiet."
I didn't cut you out. I didn't say rude things about you.
Okay, so that wasn't.
I'm just saying,
but you still obviously misinterpreted that different than I intended to come across.
But you knew you had done it.
I did. You're right.
Right.
You're right.
So you can't say that you didn't know that it happened.
But
I know.
Also, at the same time, I do believe Carrington has admitted to being overly conscious on, I guess, disturbing other people's feelings. Mm-hmm. So
self-conscious.
She might have just
been aware of it.
But if you thought it and I thought it, it was there.
Right.
Because they're both self-conscious.
No, I mean, it just came off that way. I would not
have taken it that way. Never in a million years wouldn't have taken
it
that way.
No, wait, you were touchy earlier, just on the questions we were asking you.
I wasn't touchy.
You came off touchy.
Which subject are we talking about?
Oh, here? Everything we've talked about. You thought it, because you got him the Grinch.
Well, just because, like, I just, I mean, that's my, okay, so on the Christmas, just genuinely, I don't decorate a Christmas tree, and I never really have, because it's just always seemed like a waste of my time. I never really had fun doing it.
Yeah,
okay, this is like
touchy.
Me coming, if I came in one night and said, you are a jerk. You have no redeeming qualities. You stink, and I don't understand why I'm talking to you.
Yes, if it was that evident, I agree. That's enough to cut them out. I just don't think most people in my life have ever been that direct with their disdain for me.
I have never wanted. I've never liked being around you, and I don't want to be around you now. That's not enough for you?
No, that's enough for me.
One thing.
Yeah, but it seems like they're going to cut you out, so you're doing it, right?
No, because then they don't like the heat. If you all of a sudden start to be a little cold toward them, then, because sometimes I think it does come out of them unexpectedly, because it's the show again. Everybody's living a little bit of a show, and all of a sudden, if they let the curtain drop a little bit, and that comes sliding through, and then the next day they said, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that." Well, too late. You've done it now.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I've just never seen anybody react that passionately.
Well, I don't think it's a react.
Like with distaste.
Well, no, wait. Now you said. And I think you've said this on air. Uh-huh. So you said you've had some relationships where you felt people were disinterested. So, but maybe they weren't.
Right. Yeah, and that's my perception. But that would be because of, like, multiple times of them seeming disinterested. It wouldn't just be, like, one instance. But, like, it adds up.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like they change in a day. But it eventually gets to a point.
You just said the whole thing about I hate you and you have nothing redeeming about you. Like, that's kind of a pretty blatant one.
Well, I wouldn't show up one night like that, but it would be just over a time you'd say, you know.
But the final straw is they're like, hey, I don't like you.
Yeah. You just have enough and you say, well, you know, I just really, you're, ugh.
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. Because if somebody didn't like you, in what circumstance are you putting yourself in enough conversation with them to where you it gets to the point where they have to tell you that they don't? Because I feel like if I didn't like somebody and that person was just like, hey, you want to hang out? Hey, you want to do something? Hey, you want to do just
this
I
is more about,
hang out with
it's
you.
Not,
sorry.
It's not disliking somebody that becomes the problem. It's that other people can't understand why you don't like that person because they like them. People are not going to get along. That's life. But there's always somebody else who goes, well, why they used to like that person. Why can't they like them now?
Maybe they're just curious if there was a falling out. I mean, I'd want to know if somebody previously liked somebody, and then I'm like, oh, hey, how's so-and-so? And you're like, oh, we don't talk anymore. Oh, okay. Like, just.
I hate to bring up broadcasting in this, but it has happened here before because somebody will do something that you find maybe disloyal or handled inappropriately, and you probably don't take that the best. Now, I would never walk over and tell somebody, hey, I don't like you because you did that, but you don't necessarily hang around them as much as you used to.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, it just that's not like a. I guess that is a specific instance. If it's like one thing they did, I guess in your job, but that's still just different. It's like maybe you don't like the way they handle broadcasting. You know, you don't know that like. I mean, and that's enough reason for you to not want to get to know them any better, but, like, maybe you would like them if you'd met them in a different setting or something.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story before we go to break here, and then we'll try some bread pudding. But we were doing the Exchange Club program, like, midway through it, and I had four panelists on the show at that time, and I'm not going to tell you which one it was who did this, but they showed up to a taping, and before the taping, we all got together, they called everybody together, and they told everybody that they were going to be leaving the show in 3 weeks. And they said it in front of everybody and did not come beforehand to tell me, who was producing the show, that they were going to make this announcement. So now we all got to sit down and act friendly with each other coming off this announcement. And we did the taping that day because you had to do it. So we did five of them. But when it was over and that person went home, I told him, don't come back. Because I think you handled, we're not going to do 3 more weeks. That was it. I don't think you handled that well. And it's very uncomfortable to sit there and act like we're all buddy-buddy when you're leaving in 2 weeks, and I'm not particularly thrilled with you right now. But I did tell the audience that. When I came back the following week, I said, it's not comfortable to sit here anymore with that person. We wish them the best, and we'll find somebody else.
Oh, wow. So if I ever need to leave, if anybody wants to quit this show, what are the appropriate steps?
You don't do it in front of a group.
Okay, so we need to come to you personally.
Well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was just curious. I just want to make sure. Okay.
You quitting?
No, I'm not quitting. Can't get rid of me that easily.
No, but do you think that was proper? Because I ran that by a few people when it was over, and they didn't like it either.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess since it's, like, the three of us on this show, it wouldn't seem like a huge deal. Maybe more with, like, four or something whenever.
Well, we had a camera person in the room. There were three other panelists.
And panelists and stuff, that's kind of weird if it's, like, somebody that's not on the show. But, like, I wouldn't think it was weird if, like, one of us was going to quit and you came to both of us or something. If you're, like, Scott's like, hey, guys, I'm retiring. In a couple weeks.
You'd cry, wouldn't you? For sure.
Yeah.
Well, but that's just an instance, but it does happen. So we're going to have some bread pudding and come back and review this after this short but important break. Enjoy some Christmas. Cheese dip?
Cheese dip.
You like when I say cheese dip?
Always. Get your cheese dip.
Get the cheese dip and the tortilla chips. We'll be back. And by the time we come back, I might not like you. It could happen.
I'm scared. It only takes one instance.
There might be two by the time we come back. That's and then true. There were two. We'll be back right after this. Let's see what happens.
Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel. Mr. Grinch, you're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.